There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
You know, politicians want to force you to cover your face as a way for them to cover their own asses.
Mark Reardon.
Does the president not know what's going on?
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Yeah, not the way that I had hoped to start the day. It was actually Fred last night. I was watching some television with the family, and he texted me to make sure I was watching the coverage of what turned out to be this crash at Reagan National, American Eagle Flight 5342. Now, President Trump is actually answering some questions currently in the White House. I think this was a little slight time delay on the part of Fox, but we're going to dip into this real quick and see what he's talking about, and then we'll come back and we'll get the show laid out here. But here is the president going on right now, answering some questions. Some of them are about the crash. Some are about some other issues related to the border, et cetera.
Responded to your ask to help put pressure to end the war in Ukraine.
I won't comment on either of them, but we're doing very well with regard to both.
There are some reports that she might ask of you in order to give that help, pressure to disavow potential Taiwan independence. Is that something that you would ever do?
We never discussed it.
You had said earlier that we would get more details about the victims on the plane. Can you give more on that now?
I have a lot of details, but it's something that will be released to you also at the appropriate time. No, I have the full details.
There were a lot of young people, potentially?
Young people, great people, great athletes. Great skaters, a very sad situation from numerous countries. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, so that was just a few minutes ago. Let me kind of back up a little. We'll do this in reverse order, but I also want to give you a little background as to what happened today, because there's been the blame game has been being played back and forth on a lot of this. And let's face it, we don't know the answers. There's a lot of questions right now, and nobody knows the answers. So you got CNN last night instantly blaming Trump, Abby Phillip. Hey, you know, this is 10 days into the Trump administration. Then you have Trump, you know, pulling the DEI card this morning.
On DEI and the claims that you've made, are you saying this crash was somehow caused and the result of diversity hiring? And what evidence have you seen to support these claims?
It just could have been. We have a high standard. We've had a much higher standard than anybody else. And there are things where you have to go by brain power. You have to go by psychological quality. And psychological quality is a very important element of it. These are various, very powerful tests that we put to use, and they were terminated by Biden. And Biden went by a standard that's the exact opposite. So we don't know, but we do know that you had two planes at the same level. You had a helicopter and a plane. That shouldn't have happened. And we'll see. We're going to look into that. And we're going to see. But certainly for an air traffic controller, we want the brightest, the smartest, the sharpest. We want somebody that's psychologically superior. And that's what we're going to have. Yeah.
So there's an allegation, at least. He's alluding to the fact that maybe some of the policies of the Biden administration, by the way, there's a lot of evidence that those policies were really bad and resulted in some things that could be disastrous, whether or not it caused this particular crash. I don't think we know at this point for sure, but it sounds like Trump knows something about this. But what was happening last night is American Airlines flight 5342 was on track to land on what's called runway 33. I've flown into Reagan National probably a dozen times, if not more, over the years. The helicopter, the Army Black Hawk helicopter, was traveling south following the Potomac River, and that's where, and the video's been released, you can see where they were basically, they weren't at the same height, the plane was landing, the helicopter was apparently going up, and they collided into one another in it was disastrous. And everyone on board was killed. And we now know that there was even Russian Olympians and other U.S. figure skaters because there was a championship that was in Wichita, Kansas. So the DEI thing, though, didn't go away.
We don't even yet know the names of the 67 people who were killed. And you are blaming Democrats and DEI policies and air traffic control and seemingly the member of the U.S. military who was flying that Black Hawk helicopter. Don't you think you're getting ahead of the investigation now?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think were the names of the people. You mean the names of the people that are on the plane? You think that's going to make a difference?
Does they it are, comfort their families
they
to
are a group
DEI
of people
policies?
That have lost their lives. If you want a list of the names, we can give you that. We'll be giving that very soon. We're in coordination with American Airlines. We're in coordination very strongly, obviously, with the military. But I think that's not a very smart question. I'm surprised coming from you.
So that was Caitlin Collins. So he had to get a dig in there on Caitlin Collins. Now, that was all earlier in the day. I had one more here.
A real winner. That guy's a real winner. Do you know how badly everything's run since he's run this?
Oh, he's talking about Mayor Pete here.
A real winner. That guy's a real winner. Do you know how badly everything's run since he's run this Department of Transportation? He's a disaster. He was a disaster as a mayor. He ran his city into the ground, and he's a disaster now. He's just got a good line of bullshit.
So, you know, yesterday I made the case, and I think I've made the case here for the past couple of weeks. President Trump has changed. Something has changed him. He's had an epiphany. He's not being nasty up there. And then he was kind of nasty up there today. But look, they've been attacking him. And I don't like the DEI blame game right now. I think there's legitimate questions. We've been all over this diversity, equity, and inclusion topic for the last 3 years, at least, if not 4 years. But I do think, you know, you can take a moment here and maybe try to figure out what actually happened in this particular crash. So let's bring us to this afternoon. And this was literally about a half an hour ago. And our guy, Will Sharp, in the White House, in the Oval Office again, as the president was signing executive orders.
Sir, just two items for your signature today. The first is the formal commission appointing Chris Rochelot to be the deputy administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration.
Right.
And since the commissioner position since the administrator position is currently vacant, he will act as the administrator since he's now been appointed deputy.
And he's a very capable guy.
Extremely experienced in aviation and highly regarded in the industry and in government.
We can hear the pen at work there, signing the executive order.
Okay.
Then they had another one.
Thank you.
Second for your signature, we have a presidential memorandum titled Immediate Assessment of Aviation Safety. In light of the damage done to aviation safety by the Biden administration's DEI and woke policies, what this presidential memorandum orders is for your Secretary of Transportation and FAA Administrator, in this case, Acting FAA Administrator, to basically ensure that we are actively undoing all of that damage, that we are assessing how much damage was done, and that we're ensuring that people hired within the FAA, in keeping with your memorandum of January 21st, are only the most outstanding capable people for the jobs that they're being hired into.
In other words, competence.
Yes, sir.
Well, there you go.
Competence over everything else instead of the DEI policies that were pursued by the Biden administration.
I think everyone understands that.
Yeah, I think everyone does understand. But let me tell you what's going on, and this is going to go on. While the focus should probably, well, it shouldn't probably. The focus should be on finding the cause of the crash. The focus should be on the victims of the crash, the recovery efforts. I mean, I was talking about this with my son, who's in town from Houston. I had to pick them up today, take them to my house. And, you know, just the thought of these I don't even know what department they would be in, but the divers that have to go in, look, you had jet skis out there and divers trying to pull bodies out last night. Now they have to recover bodies that are strapped to seatbelts if, you know, they haven't been charred from the explosion last night. So it's awful. But I'm going to play you this. I have not heard this because this was all happening at the time that we were getting ready to go on the air about 20 minutes ago after he signed those executive orders. And what I was playing and airing here just a minute ago was the latter half of the Q&A, which is wrapped up right now. But here's the beginning part of the Q&A.
Mr. President, to be clear, are you saying race or gender played a role in this tragedy?
It may have. I don't know. Incompetence might have played a role. We'll let you know that. But we want the most competent people. We don't care what race they are. We want the most competent people, especially in those positions. And, you know, you're talking about extremely complex things. And if they don't have a great brain, a great power of the brain, they're not going to be very good at what they do, and bad things will happen.
Mr. President, there's long been concerns about the amount of congestion out of D.C. airport. Do you think that there's too many flights coming out of that airport?
No, I think we need very smart people running the flights and doing it. You know, the ones that aren't good, when they'll either do one of two things. They'll have too many coming in and they can't handle it. Or they'll have the people waiting up in the air, which everyone's been caught in that situation, and circling the airports for an hour. And that's no good either.
Mr. President, are you aware?
Military helicopter training flights that are flying around National Airport all the time, what's your view? Should they be
doing? Well, my view is fine if they're in the right locations and if they're not at the same levels. I mean, if a plane coming in is at 300 feet or 400 feet and a helicopter's training at 300 or 400 feet, why wouldn't they be up 500 feet higher? So I certainly want, and that to a certain extent is the air traffic controller. Wait, please, wait just a second.
You feel like what happened last night was preventable?
I do, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And obviously, that was something that should not have happened. And we're not going to let it happen again. Yes, please.
Mr. President, on a slightly different subject, on your Canada and Mexico tariffs, yeah. Will oil be included or excluded from those tariffs?
So we'll be announcing the tariffs on Canada and Mexico for a number of reasons. Number one is the people that have poured into our country so horribly and so much. Number two are the drugs, fentanyl, and everything else that have come into the country. And number three are the massive subsidies that we're giving to Canada and to Mexico in the form of deficits. And I'll be putting the tariff of 25% on Canada.
Okay, I'm going to get out of that right now because it sounds like my audio is going a little hinky-jinky, which tends to happen, unfortunately, at Odyssey St. Louis. So I can't really explain that. But if we have anything else that the president said, we'll certainly make sure we get that on the air. There's just a lot of confusion at this point, and people don't know what the answers are. You had these, you know, it was in the news today. You haven't heard the name Nancy Kerrigan. She said she knew some of the skaters on the plane.
I feel for the athletes, the skaters, their families, but anyone that was on that plane, not just the skaters, because it's just such a tragic event. When you find out, you know some of the people on the plane, is even a bigger blow.
So Pete Hegseth, who was confirmed as defense secretary, is saying that they're investigating a possible elevation issue. I don't know exactly what that might relate to, whether it's the helicopter or the plane. I'm guessing maybe the helicopter. Here's what he said earlier, though.
The military does dangerous things. It does routine things on the regular basis. Tragically, last night, a mistake was made.
And then there's this, you know, the one thing about the blame game, because the narrative is strongly going to be, and you're going to see this. I know most of you probably don't watch CNN. I've been dabbling with a little bit more CNN lately because they've been saying so many idiotic things. I have this little system that's in front of me right now. We call it the hotkeys, a little inside radio lingo there. It's just a computer screen. Then I have different things that I can play. Like if I'm talking about my trip to Greece, I play this. You know, this Greece music is nice, and Ethan puts that in for me. We have Joe Biden talking about Kamala. Remember Kamala? Let's see, here it is. Kamala. Kamala. The Greek music was still playing. I have, Insect News is on here, too, like this.
It's time for Insect News.
So I added a new one yesterday in honor of Scott Jennings and the CNN panel from a couple of nights ago.
I can't wait until American women can't get blueberries for their smoothies.
Oh, my God. Can you even imagine? being around that woman for any amount of time. One more soundbite on the crash here. This is Jennifer Homendy. She's with the NTSB. And this is the point I was going to make about the blame game, because CNN is not going to focus on what should be focused in. It's not the cause. It's all about what President Trump has said about DEI. I thought this was a pretty good response here.
The all due respect, I think the press also likes to state what probable cause is before we get to the probable cause. So what I'm going to say is you need to give us time. You need to give NTSB, it's not that we don't have information. We do have information. We have data. We have substantial amounts of information. We need to verify information. We need to take our time to make sure it is accurate. That's best for you. That's important for the families. It's important for legislators who are seeking answers to try to figure out what they're going to do about this. And so it will take time. We do have a lot of information, but we need some time to verify that.
Now, the other thing that's happening here, and you're never going to stop this. Like I saw when I popped on to X, formerly Twitter, this morning, and I think a lot of us were watching last night, certainly this morning. You see some of the images, some of the video that has been, you know, put up on the television screens. There's more emerging because more cameras. There's a lot of cameras in that area. Some of them are a little bit closer than, certainly a lot closer than the views that we had last night, which were pretty far in the distance. But the main, and I think those of you who were following last night, or even if you've seen some of this morning, the main image of the crash was coming from a camera that was significantly, I think, a couple of miles away, maybe. And then there's you see another plane clearly that is taking off. So I saw some bozo on, I don't even know who it was, because you know how this, we've talked about this too. If you're on X, formerly Twitter, maybe some of you aren't, they have the algorithm to where you can only see the posts from people you're following, right? But they also shifted over for this for you part. If you look up at the top of your Twitter screen, if it says for you, you're being fed things that are on your, you know, supposedly what you might want to see on an algorithm. So I always notice this because it's people I don't follow. I'm like, who is this idiot? Like the idiot this morning who posted something and he's got, you know, all this narration of something doesn't seem right here. Do you see that other plane? Yeah, that pilot was taking off with a whole bunch of other passengers, and it had nothing, like zero to do with this crash. What would you expect the pilot to do when he's taking off and just a few hundred feet off the ground? Circle back around over the helicopter and do something? I mean, the amount of idiocy that's out there on these conspiracy theories, and it started right away. Now, was there something nefarious here? I don't know. Is it possible that there was sabotage? Of course it is. That's what we have to do the investigation for. But I'm guessing this is human error. And it was a bad mistake on someone's part is what we're going to find out. I don't think it was something where, you know, the other airplane that was up in the air taking off could have done something. The blame game is just unbelievable right now. And it's not going to stop, probably, because everything that Trump just said, you heard him say here, is going to get, you know, dissected, and CNN will run with all that tonight and not the real story. In the meantime, we're going to cover a lot of things here this afternoon. One of the things I haven't talked about yet was the Cash Patel hearings, the confirmation hearings this morning on Capitol Hill. Those were good. And I'm just going to say this because he's a friend. He at one point was the official state lawmaker of the Mark Reardon Show, a very, very special designation. But Senator Eric Schmidt was just awesome. And he played a little game with Cash Patel of Would You Rather? And it was amazing. And he certainly stood out in that hearing. I have some of that audio for you a little bit later this afternoon. Also, we're going to talk here in just a couple of minutes with John Reed. John is a local pilot, aviation journalist. He is the host of the Aero Dinosaur YouTube channel. He's written about many airplane crashes and investigations. He'll give us his take here and opinions coming up in just a couple of minutes. We got Sue's News in the next hour. Bill King, I'm so glad we got Bill on. He used to run for mayor in Houston, but he had a great, great piece on some things that are happening related to birthright citizenship. We got TJ Moe in the 5 o'clock hour, plus an audio cut of the day and war. It's all coming up.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I speak to you this morning in an hour of anguish for a nation. Just before 9 p.m. last night, an American Airlines regional jet carrying 60 passengers and four crew collided with an Army Black Hawk helicopter carrying three military service members over the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., while on final approach to Reagan National Airport. Both aircraft crashed instantly and were immediately submerged into the icy waters of the Potomac. Real tragedy.
That was President Trump this morning when he first reacted to all this. And as we mentioned at the start of the show, there was a Q&A and some executive orders that were signed sort of in connection with the FAA and the crash in the last hour. And who knows, he may go for a trifecta and still speak with some of the media a little bit later today. We're expecting to hear, I think, from the Transportation Secretary again, Sean Duffy, and maybe Pete Hegseth, but we'll certainly keep you posted on that. John Reed is with us this afternoon. He is a local pilot, aviation journalist. He's a veteran pilot and host of the Aero Dinosaur YouTube channel. He's written about a lot of plane crashes and investigations. John, thanks for coming on here this afternoon. How are you?
Well, fine, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
It's kind of tricky because, you know, the blame game is being played here just a little bit with some things that might not even be related to the reality of what happened. But what's your just initial reaction to what you saw last night and some of the details that are unfolding today?
Well, first of all, shock in a highly controlled terminal airport area. This is extremely rare in this day and age. It was more common in the 60s and 70s, but then regulations tightened and terminal control areas were put into place around airports. And they're just a lot safer. And this kind of thing really doesn't happen even in a dense airport environment anymore.
So are you able to, at this point, again, we don't know all the details, but the way that this thing looks is you had the flight, the American Eagle, the American Airlines flight 5342 is on track to land on what's called runway 33. The helicopter, the Army Black Hawk helicopter, I guess on a training mission is what they say, is traveling south following the Potomac River, and then that's where things, it seems like the elevation issue was the plane was over the helicopter. The helicopter's going up and maybe even toward the plane, and that's when the crash occurs. Do you have a different take than that, or is that pretty much what we think happened?
I don't have too different of a take. The American Airlines crew was, as far as all the ADS-B data information, they were on the correct course and the correct glide path, and basically concentrating on the runway threshold and getting there. The helicopter, the way the ATC works there, the air traffic control, is the helicopter is allowed to cross approach paths to that airport, but at a specified altitude, which is, I think I heard 300 feet, which is higher than any approaching air, which is lower mm-hmm. than any approaching aircraft would be going to runway 33.
What are the systems that a passenger jet would have, you know? And by the way, forgive me if I get some of this wrong, John, and correct me, because there's so much information out there and a lot of it's being spread on Twitter. And I see something, I get curious. So I saw some posts today where you had a reference to the proximity warning system that a passenger jet would have. Do they have that? And if they do, why wouldn't it have gone off? And I don't even know if you could have done anything if it did go off.
Well, that's called TCAS. That's the Traffic Collision Avoidance System. And all aircraft after the 1970s, especially large commercial aircraft and a lot of smaller aircraft, have that installed. It basically warns you of a conflict in your traffic environment and gives you immediate instructions to avoid, on how to avoid a conflict or a collision. The real problem is that below 1,000 feet of where both aircraft were, one was at supposed to be at 300, the other one was at 400 feet, I guess, where it happened. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some talk that the helicopter was above the assigned altitude. The TCAS does not work below 1,000 feet. It's useless.
Yeah, okay.
It needs, plus or minus maybe 1,500 feet up and down to work to give a proper warning.
Well, and even if there was a warning at that moment, there would be limited things that a pilot could have done, right? The airplane in particular.
Well, again, the American Airlines regional jet pilots were focusing on landing and landing only. They had the runway in sight,
yeah.
Apparently. you know, they are not in a see and avoid environment. The helicopter was in a right. see and avoid environment. They were flying visual flight rules, VFR, and so it was up to them to avoid other aircraft.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, I think where people are focusing on right now, and you just have to wonder. I mean, we don't know if it was sabotage or anything like that. It doesn't seem like that. It just seems like somebody made a bad mistake.
It may be that none of the participants, the controllers, the pilots, or even the helicopter may be at fault. It may be just a small loophole in an old procedural regulation in that particular traffic area that needs to be updated and amended. And, you know, that happens from time to time. And there may be some FAA advisory that changes how the helicopter is able to cross that path. It's like going across railroad tracks. It's up to you to see and avoid a train. And that was the helicopter's job.
Yeah.
To see and avoid the planes on final approach.
John Reed is here. He's a veteran pilot from here in St. Louis, aviation journalist. You know, one of the things that's also been talked about today, John, is just the amount of traffic at that airport. Although you have big airports around the country that take on a lot of traffic. I do remember, and I'm going to look into this, I remember some piece of legislation that was up for debate either last year or the year before that dealt with Reagan National and the amount of traffic in particular. But would you have any concern that there's just too much air traffic there for the air traffic controllers to, you know, even manage or not?
No, I think it's manageable. I mean, there's a lot of high density areas, obviously Kennedy, O'Hara, you know, Dallas. There's a lot where there's a lot of smaller airports that are kind of surround the major controlled airport. But, you know, most of those are, some of them are uncontrolled airports or various layers of control. And, you know, there's certain procedures you follow. Now, Washington is very dense. I mean, it's very busy. There's in and out civilian and military traffic everywhere. So, you know, there's no way to avoid the congestion. You just have to get the procedural regulations correct. And
yeah,
unfortunately, us being human beings, we'll never get everything 100% correct. And those people getting on that plane in Wichita, I would say, had a 1 in 1 million or 2 million or 10 million chance of this happening.
Right. And then even on approach, I was just on an airplane a couple weeks ago. We can all kind of, you know, envision putting our seat backs up and our laptops back in our bags, et cetera. I mean, I cheat. I will tell you, I turn on my cell phone and I start texting saying about to land. I'm sure people were doing that. There was one guy I saw this morning
right.
that was texting with his wife. And the last thing you would expect is something to collide with you in midair. And that's what happened. I mean, maybe the only saving grace is this happened quickly.
Well, it happened quickly. And I feel so bad for all the people and the families involved. And, you know, it's Providence, and we just don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But climbing on an airplane or getting, you know, buckling into your you know, Southwest seat 33 or whatever it is, you don't expect something like that to happen. But that's what everybody did in Wichita, and it happened.
You know, I was speaking, I mentioned my son is in town from Houston. They're flying back tomorrow, and we were listening to some of the coverage earlier today, and he's like, yeah, it feels good to get on an airplane tomorrow. I mean, it's a natural reaction that people are going to have. But as you know, and, you know, this is going to be pointed out, this is just so rare, and I'm amazed that there aren't more big disasters. John, I actually remember I was 12 years old before I moved here to St. Louis, maybe 14 years old now that I think about it. It was 1979, O'Hare Airport in Des Plaines, not too far from where I lived in Niles, and I could have seen the smoke from where I live. My dad worked right across the street from O'Hare when that was a domestic passenger flight that was from L.A., a McDonnell Douglas DC-10 that had, I think it was 300 people, 273 fatalities from that particular crash.
Right.
That was one of the biggest in history, right?
Right. I do remember that. There was someone mounted, one of the mechanics mounted the DC-10 has two engines on the wings and then one on the tail, and one of the ones on the wings wasn't fastened correctly, and it both broke.
Yeah.
When they rotated, when there was all the pressures, and basically the engine went back over the wing and severed all the controls and collapsed the wing. And that was, the rest is unfortunate history.
Yeah, it was, that was a bad one for sure. I mean, it's one of those situations where, you know, you remember things from the past. I can still see, I lived across from a high school in Niles, Illinois, Notre Dame High School, for people who might be familiar with that area. And I could still see, you know, a vision of that smoke that was way, way behind.
Right.
It was miles away from where I was. But there was this huge black plume of smoke. And that was just a devastating day because there were so many people that were involved. Well, John, hopefully we're going to get some more answers here in the next couple of days. I just can't even imagine, you know, being a member of one of those ice skating teams or a family member waiting for someone to come back to D.C. So it's an awful, awful tragedy. Hopefully some answers forthcoming. But John Reed, thank you so much for jumping on here with me this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. Enjoyed it.
All right. Take care. We'll have a little bit more, obviously, as the news breaks this afternoon. At this point, I'm not certain that there are any other news conferences. I mentioned we might hear from Sean Duffy or Pete Hegseth. They're, you know, raising some of these questions about the elevation issue. And we'll certainly have the latest as we get some more information this afternoon. Outside of that, what I'll tell you is it's been pretty fast and furious. The news is not slow outside of the crash today because Tulsi Gabbard's up there for her confirmation hearings. Cash Patel, I think, did a really good job this morning. He was hammered, of course, by some of these Democrats on the committee. But our own Senator Eric Schmidt did a great job with Cash Patel. And it's a strong contender for audio cut of the day in 2 hours. But I'm going to flip some of that back around here in just a couple of minutes as well. I've been wanting to talk more about birthright citizenship. And I wrote a piece, or I didn't write a piece. I read a piece that was on Real Clear Politics a couple of days ago by a guy by the name of Bill King. I think we've had Bill on before. He's a businessman and he's a lawyer and an editorial board member at the Houston Chronicle, but he ran for mayor in Houston, and he's currently the co-chair of something called the Forward Party of Texas. And he wrote about birthright citizenship and the nuances that exist, and he's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Also this afternoon, Dennis Hancock of the St. Louis County Council. He is now free to talk since the St. Louis prosecutor dismissed a nepotism case brought against him. Some of the shenanigans that went on with not only Wesley Bell, who's now a member of Congress, but Sam Page, our county king. He'll highlight that. And then our friend TJ Moe. I love TJ, former Mizzou and NFL player. He contributes to Jason Whitlock's Fearless on Blaze TV. He's got some great takes, and I got to give credit to TJ because he was one of those guys. I remember I had two people on in the 5 o'clock hour the night before the election, John Ziegler. And John can be a little bit of a negative Nancy, if you will, and TJ. And Zig was like, I don't see these swing states going to Trump. And TJ came on and was like, every swing state is going to go to Trump. He was very bold. He ended up being right. But he's got some great takes on the first week back in office. I know that TJ is a fan of RFK Jr., so we'll ask some questions about that. Then, of course, you know, he played in the NFL. He's a football guy. So how much did the referees help the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll ask that question. Plus, an audio cut of the day and more. Yeah, you know, the aforementioned Jane Duker, she'll be here tomorrow in this hour. We got a Reardon Roundtable as we take you into the weekend, I believe. Yes, I spoke with Steve Butts last night. Oh, I almost forgot something. Let me do this real quick before we get to Cash Patel, because I think people here in St. Louis might be interested. I cannot reveal who told me this, Steve Butts, but I do have a little indication of what happened at the SLU game. There's a story that was in the Post this morning. They didn't offer a lot of details as to what happened, but here's what I'm told. I will spread the rumors. I'm not so sure there shouldn't be a police report that is filed, and maybe there will. SLU says they're investigating. And if you missed this, this was the final few minutes. I didn't even know this yesterday when we talked about it. The game between Virginia Commonwealth and SLU, I guess, had to be delayed by a few minutes. I'm told that there is a player for VCU that was recruited by Travis Ford, the former coach of SLU, former Missouri Tiger as well. I was way back then in Columbia when he played for Mizzou. I was there. Then he transferred because we went on probation. He played for Kentucky. But good coach. He didn't quite succeed at SLU as a lot of us had hoped, but he recruited this kid. The kid didn't have the grades, and his mom was behind the bench, you know, because her son plays for VCU. There was a lot of chirping that went on, and then things got explosive. So, you know, words were exchanged. There was pushing and shoving. If you've seen the video, there was a dude that had a very bloodied face. And, you know, I wondered, and I don't know if I have a definitive answer to that, whether or not it's a situation where he was hit in the face. Was he punched in the face? Because apparently the mom of the player had a pretty big dude that was next to her. Was he punched in the face, or was he just basically caught up in the collateral damage? I honestly don't know if we know the answer to that, but that's essentially what I heard happened. He got pretty nasty. And I'm, you know, I don't know why there wouldn't be criminal charges that would be considered in that situation. All right, Cash Patel on Capitol Hill for his confirmation hearing today.
If confirmed as the next FBI director, I will remain focused on the FBI's core mission. That is to investigate fully wherever there is a constitutional factual basis to do so, and to never make a prosecutorial decision that is solely the providence of the Department of Justice and the Attorney General.
Sadly, something we can relate to here in St. Louis is violent crime.
Violent crime is exploding in this country, and we cannot afford them to allow it to run away. We must tackle violent crime. Just in 2023 alone, there was 100,000 rapes, 100,000 drug overdoses, and 17,000 homicides. The priority of the FBI, if I'm confirmed, will be to ensure that our communities are protected and safeguarded and our children have parks to play in and not needles to walk over.
I do want to apologize. We have some issues with our audio that I'm detecting, and you probably are too, where the audio is skipping a little bit. And I had to cut out of the news conference from President Trump earlier. So I'm not sure how that might continue, but that seems to be an issue this afternoon. Senator Kennedy was on this panel today.
You've made a lot of people mad, haven't you, Mr. Patel?
Seems so, Senator.
Think maybe you've made the right people mad?
My FBI agents, the BRIC agents, told me when I was running cases with them across this country and around the world, if you're not ticking off some people, you're not doing your job right.
So he was asked pretty intensely today by the Democrat members of that panel, and some of them were just ridiculous, like Mazie Hirono. Ugh. I tweeted about her not too long ago because I don't know how anyone would even be able to spend 30 seconds in a room with her. She just makes me want to vomit when she asks questions. She did it last week with the confirmation hearings as well. But you know who knocked it out of the park for us this morning? Our own Senator Eric Schmidt. With Kash Patel, because he played a little game of would you rather?
Would you rather the FBI prosecute and persecute parents who voice legitimate concerns at school board meetings, or should it investigate domestic terrorists who commit school shootings and threaten the lives of American children?
Absolutely investigate and prioritize the safety of our children and any actual and real domestic terrorists, as I've prosecuted in my past in the Obama Justice Department.
Let's stop right there, because this is a very important point. And I think our memories sometimes are a little too short when it comes to this. And I remember a situation with my own school district and our former superintendent, because they had a school board meeting in Rockwood and they were all worried about the evil conservative parents. And they were trying to essentially tell people to rat them out and to call the FBI, as if local law enforcement couldn't do their job if something wasn't, you know, right. It was outrageous. And that's what that is a reference to. And the FBI was involved in that. And it's shameful.
Would you rather the FBI be weaponized by investigating presidential candidates, political opponents, spying on and wiretapping candidates' advisors? Or should the FBI get back to its core mission and get politics out of the FBI?
There should be no politics in the FBI. And having been a victim of the weaponization of law enforcement against me, I know what that feels like. And if I'm confirmed, I will make sure no American feels that sleight of hand ever again.
Yeah, so these are all real life examples of things that we have experienced here in the last 4 years with the Justice Department. Would you rather
the FBI target traditional Catholics as extremists? Or should the FBI focus on investigating actual threats posed to the American people by cartels pumping fentanyl into our communities through the southern border?
100,000 deaths due to fentanyl and drug overdoses in 1 year. I'd rather the FBI focus on that and save our children.
Would you rather the FBI ignore when thugs threaten to harm and plot against Supreme Court justices? Or should the FBI actually investigate that and get to the bottom of it?
I'm so glad you brought that up, Senator. This body passed a law to protect our justices of the peace, including the Supreme Court. And every single justice of the peace deserves that enforcement of that law so they can do their duty.
Would you rather the FBI pressure social media companies into censoring conservative viewpoints, or should it focus on what the FBI should get back to, which is investigating interstate crimes that threaten the well-being of Americans?
No censorship. Let's focus on investigating interstate crimes.
One of the things that was interesting about this, and I will say this, you know, he broke with Trump on the pardons for January 6th, and I break with Trump on those. I don't think that those were all, you know, appropriate. I think some of them were, but I don't think the violent offenders should have been pardoned. And some of that is shameful. We have a situation where, and this came up in the hearing, you had President Biden who, you know, pardoned Leonard Peltier, who killed two FBI agents. Now, the dude, Dick Durbin, saying, well, he's in his 80s. He's not a threat to society. I don't care. He killed two FBI agents. But one more game here, one more round of would you rather with Eric Schmidt.
Would you rather the FBI raid the home of a former president and chief political rival, going through the First Lady's personal belongings, spreading out documents on the floor staged, or should it raid the homes of terrorists who seek to harm citizens?
Let's let our men and women in law enforcement kick down the doors of terrorists and narco traffickers and pedophiles and put those people in prison where they belong.
I think he did a good job, even though he was attacked relentlessly by the Democrats on that panel. He handled himself well. There were some times, and I thought I had the Maisie Hirono bite, but she's just ridiculous trying to pin him on some stuff that didn't even really happen. Cash did very, very well, and I don't know what the numbers are for confirmation, but obviously most of these nominees aren't having a lot of trouble. Now, the one thing I do want to keep an eye on here is Tulsi Gabbard's up for confirmation this afternoon. I have not really heard how that's going. Oh, here's the Durbin stuff, right? Or here's Maisie Hirono. She's just ridiculous.
Hear your answer, yes or no. Did you make money?
I don't have
those
financial
disclosures. This is my third and last time I'm going to ask you that question.
You have that information.
So you refuse to answer the question.
I answered 1,300 pages.
No answer, and yet you spread dangerous misinformation.
Here's an idea. You know, if we want to really torture some terrorists down at Guantanamo Bay, I wouldn't waterboard them. I'd force them in a room with Maisie Hirono and maybe this person.
I can't wait until American women can't get blueberries for their smoothies.
Can you imagine how torturous that would be? Oh, my God.
Get more at 971talk.com.